Today's recording is sponsored by Tzvi and Batsheva Nass in honor of the Yahrzeit of Tzvi's mother, Rochel Bas Avram Halevi. May her soul have a glorious ascent and may she be a good advocate for them and for their entire family. In 1915, as World War I was raging on, Sigmund Freud wrote an essay called On Transience. In this essay, he is ironically mourning the destruction of his beloved country, Germany, in a war that not only robbed the countrysides and the worlds of their physical beauties, but shattered humanity's pride in the achievements of civilization, in the hopes that the philosophers, artists, and poets throughout the centuries have finally brought about humanity's triumph over the differences between nations and races. All this was shattered by World War I. And so in this essay, Freud is reflecting on the whole idea of mourning, of transience, of loss. And he begins the essay by recounting an anecdote. On a summer day when he was walking through a smiling countryside with a friend of his, the famous poet Rilke. It was a beautiful day and they were walking through an absolutely spectacular garden. And whereas Freud was enjoying, he writes that he noticed that his companion Rilke not only took no joy in the beauty of the scene that was surrounding them, but was extremely disturbed and quite emotional. And so when Freud asked Rilke, "Why are you upset? Why are you so melancholy?" Rilke responded that he can't get over the fact that one day all of this beauty that was surrounding them is going to die. He was so disturbed by the thought that all the beauty he was seeing would vanish when winter came. Like all human beauty and all beauty and splendor that men have created or may create, anything that we love and admire will soon be shorn of their worth by their ephemeral nature and transience, which is the doom of anything beautiful. And as Freud, in his typical analytical method, begins to explain that what spoiled Rilke's enjoyment of the beauty was a revolt in his mind against the idea of mourning and loss. Since the mind instinctively recoils from anything that is painful, Rilke's enjoyment of beauty was interfered with by thoughts of beauty's transience, over the fact that anything we hold dear, anyone that we love, anything that we enjoy, is really only here for a little while and then will die. That's why Rilke was so sad. And although Freud goes on to explain that psychologically, mourning is a mystery that doesn't make psychological sense, because all love for things comes from the libido, from one's love of one's own ego. And so seemingly if objects that we love, that we see as beautiful, are lost to us, seemingly scientifically our capacity for love is liberated to be able to love other objects, or even our own ego again. So science never has figured out psychologically why it hurts so much that we lose things we do. So he blibes Tzarchin, he doesn't have an answer. But the bottom line is that is how life is. So transient, so consistently full of change, which is also why it's been noted that whenever we love, we feel some kind of sadness with the love. There's a tinge of melancholy and sadness in all ecstasy, because we know that as hard as we try to hold on to those things and those people that we love, we still feel the existential anguish that everything is only temporary and one day we will lose them. So Freud's reaction in the essay is that the opposite of Rilke's response should be true, and that the transience should bring an increase in the appreciation of the worth of all wonder and beauty and love. That limitation in the possibility of an enjoyment raises the value of that enjoyment. That because we know that this moment is not going to last forever, we need to delve into it with all of our being, completely partake of it. And that itself brings the most profound feeling of enjoyment from the beauty. Or as the great Greek epic poet Homer is misquoted as saying, that the gods envy us. They envy us because we're mortal, because any moment may be our last. Everything is more beautiful because we're doomed. In other words, the fact of our mortality should instead inspire us to suck the marrow out of life, to relish deeply the beauty and love of every single moment we have in life. And of course, this is true. It goes without saying that we need to appreciate every moment we have, every day that we have. And Freud is definitely correct that we should never let the fact that we know how everything is going to pass on not allow us to deeply love and enjoy and be with the beauty and the love of every moment of life that we do have. Our mortality should make that we appreciate those around us, should inspire us to see even more the beauty of those that we love and those that are in our lives this moment. However, there is another element that we need to reflect on, which Freud dismisses in his essay because of his lack of faith, but at the end of the day, we need to know that it's true. And that's what the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya in chapter 25. One of the most fundamental ideas in Tanya that could bring an extraordinary optimism in life. And for sure, this faith is what allowed the Jews to survive throughout the generations, although seemingly there was so much loss throughout Jewish history. And that is what the Alter Rebbe says, that Yichud Zehu Nitzchi L'Olam Vod, a unification, an experience in life that we have, bringing God into the experience, is an eternal, everlasting moment. Death, temporality, change, transience are only within the realm of time. But God's infinity transcends time. And any moment in life that we connect with God, any beauty, any moment of love that we go through in life, and we make God a part of it, we use them as conduits through which to bring the eternal light of God into the world. Yichud zeh nitzchi l'olam v'ad, that moment will last forever. And although in our lives we only experiencing them as fleeting moments because we're caught in the labyrinth of time, but when Mashiach comes, we will partake again of every single one of those moments of which God was a part of, and we will see that indeed, as John Keats said, a thing of beauty is a joy forever. As long as we use them as ways to be able to see and feel God in our lives through the beauty, through the beautiful loving moments that we have, the ecstatic parts of our lives, if we see God in them and use them as ways to feel God, they become eternal moments that we will see to last forever. And therefore, the Alter Rebbe is saying, as Dylan Thomas wrote in the moving poem, the poem that he wrote to his father that was dying, "Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light." Yes, Freud is right. We have to relish the beauty, the worth of everything is indeed increased when we realize that in this lifetime it's only for a moment. But we can't stop at that. We have to listen to the Alter Rebbe and realize that if we're able to bring God into these moments of ecstasy and joy, then like Dylan Thomas says, we will not go gentle into that good night. We will rage, rage against the dying of the light. And when Mashiach comes, we will see indeed that everything and everyone we know and love will indeed be with us for all eternity with God. May we deeply believe in this optimistic view of life and thereby suck out the marrow of all the most beautiful moments and taste God in them.